Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Keeping an eye on the NBA playoffs for you tonight. Boston defeated Indy 99-91. Celtics lead that series 2-0. Houston all over Utah early, 42-26 early in the second quarter. And the Bucks are beating up on the Pistons 111-94 in the fourth quarter. We'll keep you updated on those. We'll have some NHL scores, Stanley Cup playoff scores a little bit later. But let's bring on in Larry Holder of The Athletic to talk about the Saints schedule release. We went over it last segment. Larry, welcome on in. What a busy day here in sports in Southeast Louisiana. One of the more busy, memorable days than I can remember, man.
Yeah, and when the Pelicans introduced a new leadership group basically to the city and to their fan base, and that's the third fiddle, it's certainly something that made for a busy day. And yeah, over at the Athletic, we had Will Guillory doing the Pelicans. I jumped on the Saints schedule, and I also jumped on, of course, the shift in athletic director at LSU. So yeah, crazy day here in Southeast Louisiana.
No doubt. And third fiddle, David Griffin is playing on my show also. We'll talk David Griffin in hour number three, if you're wondering, Pelicans fans out there. But Larry, let's talk about this schedule. And boy, is that opening brutal. And the Saints have had some brutal ones recently. But that four-game stretch against four playoff teams from last year, that's a heck of a way to open the season.
Yeah, the Saints can't afford to kind of stumble like they typically do to open the season. Of course, 2 years ago they started 0-2, and last year they basically should have started 0-2. When you think about how they lucked out in beating Cleveland at home, and we all thought that those first two games would be cupcakes, and they weren't. So no cupcakes to open the season. Of course, you're starting Monday night at home against Houston. Then you've got the two West Coast trips at the Rams and at Seattle, and then you wrap that up with the Monday nighter in New Orleans against Dallas. And I will say the one thing I think is a good aspect to that, you get the no-call game, the rematch, you get that out the way early. That's not a game that's hanging over your head and a talking point throughout the season. Knock it out early and be done with it. And I think it's kind of similar to when you had to basically have the rematch of the Minneapolis Miracle 2 years ago, and the Saints were able to knock that out of the way. I think it was game six or so when they were able to get that kind of off their chest. And so if you look at anything there, I think that's a positive aspect to get that game out of the way.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that, Larry. It's a fantastic point. I do think that two-game road stretch at the Rams and then at the Seahawks may be the most difficult two-game road stretch of anybody in the National Football League. And I just wonder maybe, and I don't know, this is way too early to get an answer on this. I'm just wondering maybe they stay out on the West Coast there because, yeah, that's going through the meat grinder early.
Yeah, I don't think it's too early to think that. Saints are, I'm sure, already pondering this, and it makes total sense. I could point to Oxnard, California, where the Dallas Cowboys have held training camp a bunch, and where the Saints actually, during right before the 2011 season, they spent a week out there in training camp. It's all kind of set up out there for them. So there are places where they can do this. And so it would make complete sense to do that. And it's almost, you're away from it all. You know, it's almost like a regular season, but you're away from any kind of distraction for a week. And maybe that's a good thing, depending on what happens with the Rams game. If you lose, okay, maybe you gear up and you play Seattle. And then, or if you win, you positive momentum and you zero in on the Seahawks. So, yeah, I would be stunned if they didn't stay out there. It makes too much sense.
Larry Holder with us, columnist for The Athletic, New Orleans, covering the Saints, at Larry Holder on Twitter. What are some of the other highlights and standouts of the schedule for you, Larry?
I'd say the third quarter of the schedule, because it's an entire slate of NFC South games, and it wraps up with the Thanksgiving rematch at Atlanta this time. But, yeah, you play every NFC South opponent. It's almost like we're just done with the Masters. It's almost like the Amen Corner, where it's you make that turn, and that's where you can either plow ahead or fall behind, kind of a deal. Yeah. So I'd say that is certainly an interesting stretch for the Saints, but a manageable one, you know. So it's and that third quarter, you got the bye week at that right smack in the middle of the season. And you gear up for that. So, but yeah, that is a time where, you know, if the division's tight, that's where you want to try to make moves.
In that third quarter of this schedule stretch, I saw too. It's interesting that your divisional stretch is there and not at the end of the season. I mean, and typically you get those 3-4 division games in a row to finish the season, but not so here. And that brings us to the last quarter of the season. Pretty manageable, actually. It's one of the more manageable closes to the season that I can remember for the Saints. And look, it's the NFL. We know this, Larry, but nothing's a gimme. But you're talking 49ers, Colts at home, and then at Titans, at Carolina. That's, again, not a soft landing, but manageable.
Yeah, manageable. But look, it's you're playing outdoors in potentially chilly temperatures in Nashville and in Charlotte at the end of December, and that could test the Saints' mettle. Huh? There's no doubt about that. You know, it helped last year. Their final two home games were the Week 16 and 17, and they didn't even have to do anything Week 17 because they had already clinched. I mean, that's when Teddy Bridgewater's playing. But still, you would you hope you'd taken care of business by then, and the Saints put themselves in good position. But it's it is curious that the NFL, at least I have not taken a good look at anybody else's schedule, to be honest with you. So I don't know if that's a trend around the league, but we're used to seeing the NFC South a lot of those games at the end, and it is curious that they put that in the third quarter of the season and not the final quarter of the season.
Thanksgiving day game or night game against Atlanta again. It's kind of becoming a tradition. And I think maybe the NFL area just sees the ratings for that one and thinks it's too big, and maybe it will become a little bit of a tradition.
Yeah, I think the NFL enjoyed the ratings last year. Has it? And that's got to be why they're putting it back on there. They know Saints fans watch. They absolutely know that. It's I think part of America understands that it's kind of a rivalry grudge match, Saints Falcons, no love lost there, and so you get it back to back. I can't remember a time outside of it, say Detroit and Green Bay or something like that, but a two non-traditional Thanksgiving Day participants, to where it's been the same matchup twice. We need to get someone to go look that up.
Yeah,
and see when's the last time that's really actually happened, because I can't recall that being the case 2 years in a row.
No, and I definitely can't recall it since they've gone to the three-game slate on Thanksgiving. Speaking of those Falcons, Larry, did you see their social media video tonight?
I didn't watch it. I saw it. Was it Game of Thrones?
Yeah. Yeah. Fast forward to about 41 seconds in there, and they have, direct shots at the Saints. And I suppose, look, maybe they deserve to fire back after what the flack we've been giving them for so long, but it was interesting. Anyways, it was interesting.
Hey, that just goes to show you that that rivalry is still rolling strong. and I think if we say that, I think the Falcons are going to be better this year. When you don't have Deion Jones and Keanu Neal, key pieces to your defense, missing most of the season, it's certainly something that you can't replace. And so I think Atlanta is going to be better this year than they were last year. So I'd gear up, Saints fan.
Larry Holder also wrote today about Joe Oliva stepping aside, and we learned tonight Scott Woodward on his way to LSU. What do you make of this, Larry?
I think Baton Rouge can't throw a parade big enough. for the exit of Joe Oliva, and then bringing back Baton Rouge native, LSU alum, bringing him home from Texas A&M. But like, this isn't just a Will Wade thing. I think everybody who's in tune with LSU understands this is a bigger scope of just things going awry with two of the bigger programs on campus. When you're talking football, we've seen the coaching debacles there. We've seen the coaching debacles with the basketball team. We forget just Will Wade. I mean, he whiffed twice before that with Trent Johnson and Johnny Jones. And now he gets a guy who he really championed. And, boy, this is up-and-comer. And then all of a sudden, you're not 2 years in, and there's crazy drama, and your program could be in trouble again. And guess what? That's on Oliva. You know, some of these other things where Oliva wanted a can less miles, but then King Alexander then, of course, stepped in and kept him, and then Jimbo Fisher got away. But that's just the president not trusting the AD to do the job. And, of course, that was when there was really budgetary crisis within the state, and so they couldn't stomach a buyout. But then you have to stomach it four games in the next season. So it's just a big cluster bleep, basically. You know, so I think this is – and to go out and have a plan, obviously they had a plan. So the fact that they went out and got the new AD and made that happen, I think it's kind of a double plus for LSU to show that they weren't – you know, even though it looks like maybe they were just reactive – but to go out and immediately turn around and get Scott Woodward meant you were being proactive with this thing.
Find Larry Holder's work at theathletic.com, and he's on Twitter at Larry Holder. Larry, appreciate it, man. We'll talk again soon.
All right, Seth. Good talking to you, buddy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.